You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
Ooh, this feels really, really, really good. Welcome, everybody, to Armed American Radio. I am your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine. If you're interested in participating on this evening's show tonight, give us a call at 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566, or feel free to reach out to us at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, and we'll get your email read live on the air. I'd like to say a big thanks to Sean, our board operator and producer tonight, doing a bang-up job. And welcome to our newest affiliates, WKEU in Griffin, Georgia. That's WKEU on 1450 AM and 88.9 FM. You are on the Armed American Radio Network. You have joined the freest radio broadcast in the country, where we are talking about your constitutionally guaranteed and recognized right to keep and bear arms. Welcome back, everybody. If you're back with us for the second hour, that feels fantastic to say. George, welcome back to the broadcast.
This is fantastic. This is the first show. This is the first two-hour show, and it's not going to be the last.
Oh, no. It's the first, and we're moving forward with 2 hours from now on. The listeners all across the country asked for it. They got it. It works. Isn't that amazing how that works? I think Obama's starting to find that out a little bit, too, isn't he? You push hard enough, and Van Jones goes bye-bye.
Well, what this is just an illustrated example of capitalism and the fair market. A product becomes popular, the product succeeds. Did you ask for a government bailout, Mark? Did you ask for money from that stimulus bill for this?
No, I don't want any government money, George. You know why? Because, we were talking with the caller, the first hour, Harding, that called in from Connecticut, was talking about, we kind of touched on national reciprocity for a couple minutes. You remember that?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you about why I wasn't really too high on that bill to begin with. I believe that concealed carry, I quote Ted Nugent, the Second Amendment is my concealed carry permit, barring the fact that we have to abide by the law, and we do, because law-abiding citizens are the only ones that can get concealed carry permits. We're going to talk about Mr. Casey here at the Roanoke Times in just a minute about that and have some fun with him. But a government big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take everything you have.
Exactly.
I don't want the federal government getting in on my concealed carry permit.
Exactly. Mark, let me ask you this real quick. We talked about open carry, and you go down into Arizona and you carry open when you can. You carry concealed lawfully, legally, within the bounds of and structure of the law. But let me ask you this, Mark. Why do you carry?
Well, this would probably be a good time to mention this, because we do have new affiliates. We do have a couple new stations picking us up tonight. And George, I know you know this because you've seen my column. But many years ago, I worked in some bad areas of some very big cities, predominantly Philadelphia. I covered some areas over in Camden, New Jersey. I don't know if you're familiar with those areas, but when you're going back into the 80s, it's been a long time since I've been up there. I don't want to knock them now. They may have been cleaned up. I don't know. But some historically very bad areas, and I was never comfortable unarmed. And I picked up a 25 caliber Raven, which was probably a lot of people's first guns back when I was about 21 years old and fresh out of college and a new job. And that gun made me feel better. And, I didn't know the first thing. I didn't know a hoot about concealed carry permit laws at the time. And, I look back at that now, and, that gun rode with me in my pocket and my briefcase and everywhere I went. George, that thing was, I was probably committing a felony. I had no idea. It was prior to the Florida landmark law in 1987 that has since swept the nation. However, I've graduated and moved on up from there. But in November of 2002, I was a victim of, if you want to use those terms, of an attempted carjacking gone bad, and the two perpetrators turned their attention on my vehicle, and I drew my lawfully carried Glock. I did brandish that gun with intent to utilize it if necessary to go home to my two-week-old daughter. And I survived the encounter because of that. A shot was never fired. And as the old saying goes, I never leave home without it. And, you know, I'll be darned if anybody out there is going to try to challenge me on my right to defend myself, because for our newest listeners, I believe that it is that you have a social obligation and a responsibility and a social responsibility to carry a weapon to defend yourself. Again, I've repeated on this broadcast before, and I'll do it again now, George, that I just do not understand the man who has no means to defend his family. I don't get it. I never will. I mean, help me out here.
I can't wrap my mind around it, and I've taken psychology courses working towards my psychology degree, and I just don't understand that. The reason why I carry, I've got six boys. I've got a beautiful wife and six beautiful sons, and they're the reason why I carry, because it is my responsibility to make sure that my family is safe, and I cannot allow that. This is too important for me to allow anybody else to take that responsibility from me. Until I am dead in the ground, it's my job.
That is your number one responsibility as a father and a husband, is to protect your family. It's that simple.
I've had nightmares where, you know, I've woken up in, you know, with the night sweats and woken up just shaking, having a nightmare that I wasn't able to. That's my greatest fear. People ask me, you know, George, what are you afraid of the most? I'm afraid of my family getting hurt and me not being able to stop it.
Yeah, that is a nightmare scenario. And I have written too many columns. In fact, you know, listeners, I'll go ahead and plug this. There's going to be a up at whitefeatherpress.com in about another week. You will be able to pre-order my book, co-written with my co-author Kathy Jackson, who you know very well, the managing editor of Concealed Carry Magazine.
Kathy,
and you can
awesome.
Read. Yeah, she is. She's unbelievable. And I encourage people to go out and pick this thing up. The foreword of the book was written by Masad Ayoub, and it feels really good to be able to say that. But the pre-orders will be up on, I believe, around the 11th. Of this month at whitefeatherpress.com, where you can go in and pre-order it. But the name of the book is Lessons from Armed America. And I have written many stories and talked to many people who have been through some unbelievably harrowing experiences, violent encounters that are just heartbreaking to listen to, very difficult to put down on paper and on that word processor, George. And I, you know, when you talk to these people, and I've spoken to politicians who have had a gun stuck in their face that are now rabid proponents of the right to defend themselves, who previously had voted against in state legislature sessions the right to do so, and in particular state representative in Ohio Michael DuBose. And it was an incredibly compelling story. So, you know, don't tell me, and until you've walked in a man's shoes, you know, we could, you know, fortunately we do have 2 hours now, and one day, George, we'll talk about that. We teased the listeners at the top of the, or at the bottom of the first hour, which I don't have to get used to saying that, my man.
It'll become natural.
Yeah, with Mr. Casey in Virginia in Roanoke. And both you and I have a history there, so talking about this will be a little bit personal. But his column on August 30th was titled, Getting Permit Was the Easy Part. And I want to remind people what he put up here as a header. Metro columnist Dan Casey knows a little bit about a lot of things and not a heck of a lot about most things. Well, I'm going to tell him that this is something he doesn't know a heck of a lot about, and we're going to debunk him right now. But his column was titled, Getting Permit Was the Easy Part, and he thanks the Commonwealth of Virginia, the Concealed Carry Institute, and a state senator, and says that they all deserve his gratitude because on Wednesday he joined 203,131, and that's an important number. Remember that. 203,131 other Virginians who hold state-issued permits to carry loaded concealed handguns in the Commonwealth, as if that's a bad thing. You can see the way he's phrasing it, the bias in the media.
Mm-hmm.
He says he can also carry a concealed handgun in 12 other states that grant reciprocity to Virginia permit holders. Among them are North Carolina, Tennessee, and West Virginia. I don't know why he just didn't go out and name the rest of them, because that in and of itself is a good thing. It's actually a bad thing because Virginia only has 12 reciprocal states. They need more. It says, never mind that he's never fired a pistol or that he has never even gripped one in his fingers. Never mind that as of his column, the date of his column, he's never laid a finger on a handgun in his life. Under Virginia law, that is no bar to obtaining a concealed carry permit. And you, and here he says, and this is what I love this, and coming from somebody who lives in a very rural area in Virginia where even liberals have guns, most of them I would be willing to bet, a lot of hunters out in that area. He says, you might wonder how something like this could come to pass. Can any idiot get a concealed carry permit? In Virginia, the answer is yes. with a few caveats, he says. So let's tell everybody what the caveats are. When we come back from the break, we'll get George's opinion on this. You have to be at least 21. You need a clean criminal record. You can't be mentally ill or be a drug addict or a dealer, or you can't have a restraining order against you. In other words, George, you have to be a law-abiding citizen.
Isn't that great? I love that phrase, law-abiding citizen. There's this, you know, it just defines the person. We obey the laws. And if we obey the laws and we are a law-abiding citizen, why should we be restricted?
We shouldn't.
I don't understand
and
that.
Criminals don't by their very nature. So we're going to come back and debunk him with some numbers in just a second. Stick around, everybody, for the second hour of Armed American Radio. We'll be right back with George Hill.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's 3-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the 3-step plan, I saw the value of it and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy. And if we can set ourselves up in business and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Ooh, that's hot. That's live, too. I've been there and surfed that wave in concert a number of times. And, folks, we expect to have Ted Nugent on this program in the very near future, so we'll let you know when that's about to happen. George.
Yes, sir.
I was talking about this bozo's permit, okay, how easy it was to get a permit. Well, yeah, it's because he's a law-abiding citizen, and I'm glad he got it, but, of course, he tries to use that against us. Tell everybody about the second blog that he wrote on the website.
The second article he did was entitled, Seven Cops, 43 Citizens Gunned Down by CC Permit Holders.
Now, that's a true statement. I want to point that out, that's a true statement.
That is a true statement, but it's essentially meaningless when you look at the numbers involved. How many permit holders are there in just the state of, or I should say, the Commonwealth of Virginia?
Well, we can answer that question. There's 203,000. We'll use his own figures. 203,131, of which he's now one of.
And seven police officers were killed out of those 200. And
no, this was nationwide. Those were nationwide.
We're talking national. Statistically speaking, just how significant is this?
Well, I'll tell you what. This just kills me. We talked about this earlier today, and he says in his column that we now have a report that was published by the Nonpartisan Violence Policy Center. The nonpartisan. That's hard for me to say that without laughing. That's like saying Obama's not a socialist.
Yeah. The Violence Policy Center. They are a huge contributor to the DNC. Basically, an organization fueled by ignorance, anti-gun, hatred, and just flat-out zealotry.
Yeah, Van Jones never called Republicans a bad name because he apologized too, right? I mean, these people are mind-boggling where they get this stuff. But let's run through some numbers, George, okay? And I would love to get him on the air here, and we're going to ask him to do that. I doubt he will, and he'll be old news by the time this is over anyway, but let's go through some numbers, George. All right, now this is taken from the FBI Uniform Crime Reports, and he could have easily looked this up himself. These are preliminary 2008 statistics that are available for everybody at fbi.gov. Don't take my word for it.
Also, Center for Disease Control, the CDC, mm-hmm. They also, for some reason, track gun violence. Just throwing that out there. So there's two actual nonpartisan places to get your information. The FBI is one of them.
Well, take a listen to this. These statistics are just for Virginia. Violent crime in 2008. Now, violent crime that they've got listed, violent crime, 8,269. Murders, 125. Now, I should tell everybody that this is for citizens or for cities in Virginia with a population center of over 100,000. And that includes Alexandria, Chesapeake, Hampton, Newport News, Norfolk. Boy, you got that whole corner down there by the water, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Portsmouth, Richmond, and Virginia Beach. Okay, the big population centers. That is not including Roanoke. It's not including Lynchburg. It's not including Fredericksburg or Appomattox or any of the other smaller towns where 6 additional million people, because we're only talking a population here with these of 1,656,594 people in these population centers I just mentioned. There are 7,769,089 residents, according to the U.S. Census July figures population division in the state of Virginia. So let's listen to this. 8,269 violent crimes, murders, 125, forcible rape, 473, robbery, 3,934, aggravated assault, 3,737, property crimes, 61,021, burglaries, 10,385, larceny and theft, 45,810. Now, there are 203,000 permit holders in the state of Virginia alone, okay? That represents 2.6% of the Virginia population. Now, I want to throw this out there because we're talking, his numbers from this policy center come from 2007 through 2009, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look that up, but I believe it's 2007 through 2009 is the study that they published these numbers on. Now, if we use, let's just be conservative, George, 150,000 permit holders across the country in the 43 states with shall issue carry. Am I right with 43 off the cuff? that right?
That's correct. Some states just will not allow it, such as California.
Okay, so we've got seven that I believe are May issue. We'll have to check the figures, but let's just use the 150,000. If you use that as an average, you've got approximately 7.5 million permit holders across the United States, of which, 50 people were killed by members with concealed carry permits. And nobody's doubting that statistic. It's a fact. You know why, people? Because evil exists.
Well, reading all those crime statistic numbers, that's a lot of crime going on, and it makes me want to strap on a second piece.
You better believe it, especially when you're talking the murders and the forcible rapes. Let's not take the rest of the state. But, George, this is fascinating. Florida, since 1987 through 2009, July 31st. Folks, you can pick this up at the Florida Department of Agriculture website. This is not me. This is them. These are the people who do what they do. Through 2009, Florida has issued 1,408,907 permits in 21 years. They have revoked 166 for crime after licensure involving a firearm. Less than 4,500 total ever. Ever. Now, take your calculator out, divide the numbers out. It is less than 0.1% in 21 years. So, this man's argument, we can destroy him with the facts because his argument is emotionally based.
Yeah, the statistic, the numbers are in just completely insignificant. There's no real basis for this to be even a concern. Also, these numbers, even the biggest number you threw out there as far as a percentage goes, over 2%, I mean, most polls that a lot of liberals really love to talk about polls, they always say, the accuracy is plus or minus 3%. So this is, if they love these kind of poll numbers, how come they're flipping out about 1% of the population?
Well, it's 1% of the population that, of course, this guy doesn't want to hear this, but the NRA is right. We are right. And guess what? I'm right. Okay? Law-abiding concealed carry permit holders, George, are the most law-abiding people on the planet. And it is borne out by the statistics in every single state. This man's numbers are statistically insignificant. There are more police officers, Mr. Casey, who have been arrested for violent crimes and murders than concealed carry permit holders.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's move on from Mr. Casey before we get too angry, George. And I want to, for those of us just picking us up in the second hour, we talked about the definition of brandishing. I happen to have it here. And that was where the violence, Freedom States Alliance was using the term brandishing to describe the people who were holding signs peaceably in Phoenix. And that term is to shake or wave as a weapon menacingly, to exhibit in an ostentatious or aggressive manner. That is not a holstered firearm. Now, I'm going to be bringing in, we've got a caller on the other line, George, who we're going to want to talk to here, Nikki Goser, who's been on this program before, has just called the program. So when we come back from the break, we want to talk with her for a couple minutes and find out where she's at with her case move forward, okay?
That's a heartbreaking case, too.
It is, and we're going to have her on the line with us in just a couple seconds. So stick around, everybody, as soon as we come back with George Hill and Nikki Goser right here on Armed American Radio. See you in a few minutes.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Welcome back, everybody, to Armed American Radio again in the second hour. This is great. We still have half the second hour broadcast to go, and we've got Nikki Gosar on the phone with us. Nikki Gosar is an unbelievable story. Nikki, welcome back to Armed American Radio. I'm so glad you called in. Thank you very much for joining the broadcast again tonight.
Hey, Mark. I've been listening to you and George, and congratulations on your two-hour show.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it so much. And, you know, we've taken up your cause here, and we're going to do everything we can for you. You've been on the program a couple times, and I don't want to, because simply at this point we don't have the time to go into all of the details, but I want to let the listeners know, especially those of us, the listeners down in our newest affiliates down at WKEU and anybody else across the country, that Nikki was a victim of a stalker whose husband was gunned down in front of her at a karaoke venue that her and her husband were running back in April of this year, outside Nashville in Tennessee. And Nikki followed Tennessee law as a permit holder and was required at that time by Tennessee law to keep her permit or keep her permitted gun in the car, which she did. And as a consequence, her husband was killed in front of her, murdered in cold blood. And I understand you have some news here for the gentleman, but what's happening with Mr. Wise up there?
On Friday, he was indicted for first-degree premeditated murder, and he is supposed to have his arraignment in 2 to 3 weeks. And I have specifically spoken with the DA's office, and I have told them exactly what I want.
Care to tell us what you want?
I want him to die.
Okay, and that was spoken here on this program as well, too, you know, during a rant that we had a couple weeks back when it became apparent that his indictment was coming up. What did he do? Did he just hit a grand jury here recently?
Yeah, from what I understand, they saw the evidence, and they made the decision to charge him with first-degree premeditated murder, and I have learned a little bit about Tennessee state law. I've learned that there are 17 points of criteria, they call them aggravators, that has at least one aggravator has to be met in order for the case to be tried under death penalty. And I believe two of the criteria is definitely met in my case. Number one is, was the death cruel? I think any time that you're shot multiple times with a .45 caliber weapon in front of your wife and in front of 50 patrons, that could be considered cruel.
Agreed.
And the second aggravator that would be met is, were other people's lives put in jeopardy? Well, the restaurant was full. There were 50 people in there. So I'm hoping that the district attorney's office will pursue the death penalty. That would be my wish.
Now, when do you find out what punishment they intend to seek on Mr. Hank Wise?
You know, I'm really not sure. They're supposed to call me, and I guess they have a discussion period. I know they have at least two discussions, and I don't know if I will get to be a part of that. I hope so.
Okay, I do too. And, of course, we're going to follow you here and talk with you. You know, you and I are in contact, and I want to know, you know, as soon as you know, so that we can get you back on and let the listeners know what's happening, because this is real life stuff. This isn't something that you read about on the, you know, the evening news or the local paper or see it on the evening news. This is real life stuff, and we're talking to you who, and you lived this. Now,
yeah.
I do want to point out that you were instrumental in getting Tennessee law changed when you were introduced during the override of the governor's veto of the restaurant carry bill. You can tell us about that real quick, if you would.
Sure. Senator Doug Jackson invited me to the Capitol to be there on the Senate floor as they voted to override the governor's veto of the restaurant carry bill. And he told mine and Ben's story and read my husband's last love letter to me on the Senate floor. And I was recognized by the Senate, and it was a very moving moment, but they voted and they passed the law. Now, good law-abiding citizens that are properly trained, properly permitted, can now carry their firearm for the protection of themselves and their loved ones in establishments that serve alcohol.
Well, good for you, and good for the good people, the law-abiding people of Tennessee, Nikki, that are finally able to join, you know, other states. Georgia as well. HB 89 passed in Georgia last year. And if I'm not mistaken, Arizona has just recently passed the same thing. Too many states to talk about. But that's great stuff. And we appreciate you calling the program again, Nikki. Thanks very much for joining us again tonight. And please promise to call us as soon as you hear any further details on what the DA intends to do for as far as punishment's concerned. Will you do that?
Yes, I will. And thank you so much for everything that you do, Mark.
You got a deal. Thank you very much, Nikki. And we'll talk to you real soon. George Hill, you were on the program when Nikki was on a few weeks back, were you not?
I was. It was a good program, but that was covering a subject that, you know, I just wish didn't have to happen.
Yeah, it's nightmarish, you know. And when you read stuff like Dan Casey's blog and you talk to people, you know, who really don't have a clue what happens, and don't know anybody. Fortunately for them, thank God they don't. But they just don't understand. Look at these statistics here in Virginia, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 population centers in Virginia, okay? You know, the amount of crime that's committed, you know, forcible rapes, 473, robberies, aggravated assaults, every one of those crimes has a potential to turn deadly. And I guarantee you that of the 125 murders, they all started out as one of those other crimes.
Exactly.
So,
and the solution isn't to ban the gun. The solution is to keep the guns in the hands of the honest citizens to protect themselves and their loved ones. More guns equals less crime. Every time a state passes a shall issue law, people get on the get on there and they do the process of whichever state they whatever it requires. They get the concealed carry permits. More people are packing guns. Crime has been shown to go down. It happens every time. Honest citizens protecting themselves and taking responsibility for themselves, that works every time.
Well, George, it's common sense. Bill Oliver was on this program back. He spent 20-some years of his life interviewing some of the most violent and famous violent offenders, so famous that he couldn't even tell us who they were on the air. Out in El Tascadero, criminal mental institution out in California, some of the largest prisons in the California penal system, which we all know to house some of the most violent offenders in the United States. Funny how that happens out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, he will tell you, and in fact, he's on one of our demo packages, that, what have you found in these studies? Do criminals want to, and he'll say, what, are you kidding me? Criminals don't want to tangle with an armed victim. They fear armed citizenry more than they do the police because they know the police have to work within restraints.
And we see this happening in nature all the time. If you get on the Discovery Channel and you watch some documentary about wildlife in, say, the African Sahara, you see some jackals or whatever predator out there. They don't pick out the biggest, strongest, fastest animal to go after. They don't. They go after something that looks like breakfast. If you look like food, a predator's going to attack you.
And what makes you look like food out on that desert plain? Weak,
you
young,
weak,
sick,
slow.
Very old.
Exactly.
And aren't those the same numbers, really? And, it'd be a great opportunity to do a study. I don't really think we have to. But aren't those the majority of crime victims in this country?
Well, I think that study came out by, the Department of the Completely Obvious, that old people, people who are sick, people who are young, obviously can't defend themselves, these are the people that get attacked. If you look like you're unaware and you're dragging your purse behind you, you very well could get mugged and have your purse snatched from you.
Yeah, you're inviting trouble for sure.
Exactly. But if you look like you are not easy prey, well, the predator is probably not going to pick you to be the target. So,
well, what all we can tell you is folks, stay armed, pay close attention to where you're at. When we come back with George after this break, we're going to talk about some of your training, George. And some of the things that you teach folks in some of your very intense training. So stick around. We will be right back here on Armed American Radio right after these messages with George Hill.
Online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels.
Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
That's pretty weird music. Welcome back, everybody, to Armed American Radio. I'm your host, Mark Walters, a.k.a. The Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine. We are back live with the Mad Ogre, the leader of the Horde himself, Mr. George Hill. George, welcome back to Armed American Radio, boss.
This is fantastic to be here. It's a great show. And I'm having a lot of fun doing this stuff. It's different. You know, I've got I definitely have a face for radio. So this feels good.
Well, I've seen your videos. I wouldn't go quite that far, George. I could say the same thing myself, but it's out there on the site. What are you going to do?
I don't want to make Tom Selleck feel that way.
I don't blame you. Listen, we have, believe it or not, have come down to our last segment of our first two-hour broadcast, and I want to concentrate with you on some training issues. You know, we got that goofy. What was it? I think it was on the iTunes site where we're getting some very positive ratings from across the country, and there was one in there. You want to tell everybody what it said about training?
An individual wanted us to. He basically said that we should not pimp products, but should talk about training and give some more information that way. And you know what? I agree with that. You know, products are great because we use those things, and those things make training easier, such as a good holster, for example, from Crossbreed, and you told me that you're really digging your new Crossbreed, but those kind of products, they help us do what we do. But what I was doing yesterday, we had a training course, a basic tactical carbine course, held out here at a place called the Buckskin Hills Shooting Complex, which is in Uinta County, Utah, and I had a some people came out from Salt Lake, and one of the local guys out here took my course, and we covered the defensive use and techniques, basically taking an AR-15 rifle and learning how to defend ourselves with it. And the course went fantastic. It was a hot day. The sun was beating down on us, and lots of sweat, lots of dust, and we had a great time.
Now, you know, your tactical carbine, tell us a little bit about how that would differ. Say, for example, I know you're familiar with the Best Defense guys, and those guys are going to be on the program with us next week. You know, tell the listeners and the folks out there across the country what your training entails with the AR.
Well, without giving away too much, because, you know, I'd rather have you guys come out and take my course directly from me. It's easier to show you than it is to tell you. But one thing that makes my training a little bit different is that I focus on the positives. I had a group of guys coming all the way up from Arizona, and the first thing I did in that course was I said that, you know, I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to berate you. We're going to concentrate on what you're doing right and improve everything else. And we worked on making improvements. We looked for what people were doing, you know, incorrectly. We were looking for where they were going wrong. We emphasized what they were doing right and focused on that a lot. But by making a more positive approach, you know, because I remember my initial training, you know, in basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia, it was just a nightmare. And the training was not enjoyable at all. And I want to make that just the opposite. If you come to my course, you're going to have a good time, you're going to have fun, and you're going to learn. But when you walk away from it, you walk away feeling good about yourself, not walking away feeling like you're a maggot.
Okay, now that's important because many, many times on previous broadcasts, we've talked to some of the best trainers in the United States from out in Seattle. Okay, we talk with you regularly, obviously. We've got Masad Ayoub on a regular basis. Masad is going to be joining us next week. We're really looking forward to that. And in today's environment, you've got a lot of new gun owners out there, and generally we focus on the pistol and concealed carry. Are you seeing a lot of new gun owners for the first-timers out there with the AR-15s?
Absolutely. Because of the election and the possible fear of AR-15 rifles being banned, and also handguns being banned too, we had a lot of people bought guns. First-time gun owners never bought a gun before they bought an AR-15. And now these guys are coming back saying, you know, George, how do I run this thing? Yeah, let me show you. And these guys coming out with their new carry permits, a lot of people buying carry permits, paying for the courses, getting that permit. And, you know, like the guy in Roanoke, he's got a permit. Now what does he do with it? If that columnist had any integrity, he would take it the next step and he would seek out the training. Having a gun does not mean that you're a gunfighter. Just like me jumping into a car doesn't mean I'm going to race around the Nürburgring in Germany and make a successful lap on that.
No, you got to take some training and you got to take some classes. And you know, at the very least, you've got to get out there and have somebody knowledgeable. Go to an NRA instructor for your first go around.
That's a good way of doing it. And the NRA is absolutely the biggest organization when it comes to firearms training, law enforcement training, hunter education, their child safety program, the Eddie Eagle program. You know, I don't care what any liberal has to say about it. That is the best child safety program out there. So huge kudos to the NRA for that. And, you know, if you want to know what it is, just go to the NRA's website, and they'll be happy to help you.
Stop. Don't touch. Leave the area. Tell an adult. Eddie Eagle is in schools across the United States. It's really funny how the mainstream press never covers that and the positive aspects of that. You know, there's nothing negative. It's all politics. We don't want to get into that right now, the last 5
exactly,
minutes of the program.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous to even talk about. But, you know, the Violence Policy Center, some of the local groups around the country, you know, these guys, the Freedom States Alliance, the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. Ask them if they've got if they offer a training course. Is there such thing, George, as a Brady training course to prevent gun violence?
You know, if there is, you know, I've never seen it. People say they've seen Bigfoot. I've never seen that either. But Violence Policy Center, these guys hate guns. I'm not going to go to a guy that hates cars and ask him about the new Ford. I'm not
That's
gonna
a
go
great
to,
point.
Yeah, I'm not going to go to a vegetarian and ask him how to cook a steak. That's just, it just doesn't make sense. You go to somebody you know, if you want to learn something, you go to the master. You go to people who know and make it their job to know about that subject. You know, so you don't go to the plumber to ask about electrician work. These things don't make sense. Yet that's what the VPC and Handgun Control Inc. and any of these guys out there, any of these liberal organizations, that's what they're expecting you to do.
Yeah, it is mind-boggling. It truly is mind-boggling. But, you know, fortunately, there are people out there that have common sense and don't buy into all this gobbledygook and, you know, all the political, you know, and the mainstream media and the left-leaning. I mean, it doesn't take an awful lot to see that stuff. And, you know, coincidentally, there are a lot of people, there are liberals who own guns, okay?
Let's
make that very clear. Does that make them hypocritical? No, it does not.
No, it doesn't. Self-defense is a human right, Mark. We have the right as a human being to defend our own life, and we have an obligation as a parent or as an adult to protect our children or, say, our nephews or nieces. That's our moral obligation, to protect ourselves, protect our loved ones. And you've got to face a little bit of reality, and hopefully if you seek out training, you seek out training that is reality-based. And coming up on an upcoming show, you got Rob Pincus of ICE Training.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll throw that out there. Rob is one of the best trainers in the country. So, you know, that's going to be a good show. Mas Ayoub, Mossad is a very good trainer. LFI is nationally recognized. I don't think there's anybody out there that is involved in training or has taken firearms courses that have not heard of Mossad Ayoub. And
he wrote the book, quite literally. You know, with his Lethal Force Institute, and we're going to talk with him at great length about that next week.
So, you got some fantastic shows coming on. You got some fantastic guests coming on, and Rob and both Rob and Moss can tell you more about seeking reality-based training, getting training based on reality, not based on you know, some sort of range time fantasy. You know, bad guys move, you need to move. It all comes down to, you know, when you get under stress, you revert to your training.
Yeah, and, you know, it happened to me. And, you know, I had spoken to you about it a number of times, but I had just come out of some very intense one-on-one, force-on-force, if you will, multiple attacker training. And, you know, 2 weeks later, I found myself facing two individuals. And, you know, never want that to happen again. But as we discussed over the weekend, everything comes out. Everything that you learn comes out. The first thought, you know, from what I can remember in full detail was, you know, don't watch his eyes. Watch his hands.
Exactly.
Okay? Watch his hands. His eyes aren't going to kill you. His hands are.
Let me ask you this, Mark. If you had not taken that training, what do you think the outcome would have been?
I don't know, and I don't like to think about that. George, we've got some Ted Nugent cranking here behind us, which means we are coming to the close of our first two-hour broadcast. And Mr. Ogre, Mr. George Hill, thank you so much.
This was a lot of fun, Mark. This was just amazing. This was the flagship show here, 2 hours, our first time.
Man, I'm telling you, you know what? We've got next week, everybody, join us. We've got John Higgs, Mark Craighead, John Higgs, a noted author of the Bug Out book, Mossad Ayoub, Michael Bain, Rob Pincus, and Mike Janich. Stick with us as we continue our march across the United States. George, thanks for joining us. Hit us at armedamericanradio.org, usconcealedcarry.com, and we'll be back next week, same bat channel, same bat time.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby. I can tell you.